you have your Bible this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Luke, the 7th chapter of Luke. We want to begin reading this morning in the 44th verse. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. This morning, I believe that there's a question that needs to be asked from this text to each one of you. Have you been forgiven? Father, we thank you for the word of God. Help us now by the power of the Holy Ghost to preach. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I examine this passage, there are six things I believe that we must note. First of all, from verses 36 through 39, I want you to see the inviting display. Let's read the text. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. We see the inviting display, do we not? Jesus was invited by Simon the Pharisee into the Pharisee's home. That's not uncommon for Jesus. Oftentimes, Jesus was invited to a sinner's house. The Bible says that he eateth with sinners often. So he's now been invited to a Pharisee's house, a man who's very religious, who keeps the law. And Jesus goes there to eat at the Pharisee's house. As Jesus sat there, reclined upon the couch at the table eating, in walked a woman who stood behind our Savior, didn't she? The Bible said she was a sinner and she had been weeping. She washed his feet with her tears and she wiped his feet with her hair. The Bible says she broke open an alabaster box and anointed the feet of Jesus with the ointment. Jesus was invited to the Pharisee's house, but a sinner showed up in that place. I get to thinking about there are two different reactions in this text that we see. The first one we see is a Pharisee looking on with contempt. He's engaged in the wrong activity. He has no value in the one who's present. You may have sat here this morning, heard folk up here testifying, and you might have looked at your watch and said, when will they ever shut up? When will they ever quit that testifying so we can get on with the service? I want to say that Pharisee was there that day and he was engaged in the wrong activity and his focus was all wrong in what was happening that day. We see a woman there that was overjoyed. She was full of enthusiasm, filled with joy. She was a woman that was enamored with reverence for the one who sat in the Pharisee's house that day. And Jesus did not come to her house, but she went to the house where he was. Jesus was not looking for her, but she came looking for him. One was expressing worship. One was expressing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is looking down on her. The other is completely lifeless in that day. Simon the Pharisee did not understand her joy. But I want to say this. He could not delay her. He could not deny her. He could not deter her. He could not distract her. What is the difference between this woman who would not be denied and Simon the Pharisee? What is the difference? She loved him. You may be here today and you attend church, but you don't love him. You read your Bible, but you don't love him. You sing in the choir, but you don't love him. You're engaged in service, but you don't love him. You've got a prayer life, but you don't love him. Because if you loved him, you would worship him. If you loved him, you'd express it rather than being completely lifeless. I challenge you today, loving Jesus is more than just saying, well, I love him. Oh, loving him is so much more than words. Loving him is an action. Oh, do you love him this morning? You'll not learn to love him by turning up your church attendance. You'll not learn to love him by coming to the altar an extra time. You'll not learn to love him by reading a few more devotionals. You'll not learn to love him by getting closer to your Christian hero. You'll not learn to love him by any of those means. You'll learn to love him when you start realizing your sins, which were many, have been forgiven. That is where I love him. That need of my sins be forgiven is why I've anchored myself to him this morning. I was depraved. I lived a life of debauchery. Hey, when I had nobody to turn to, when nobody cared for my soul, when y'all weren't there for me, Jesus was there for me. And I want to say this morning, I love him from the depths of my soul. When you realize that he saw your faults, he saw beyond them and saw your need. When he didn't have to, but he did anyway, that's when you'll start loving him. So I see, first of all, an inviting display. A Pharisee's invited Jesus to the house, but a woman has invited Jesus to her heart. Number two, I want you to see some insolvent debtors. Verse 40, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Here Jesus presents an illustration. He's responding to what Simon thought in his heart. Oh, it's just amazing how the Lord has set this service up today to what you have thought in your heart about what's already been going on here. We ought to give an invitation right now so you get right with God. Jesus knew the thoughts and the intents of Simon's heart, and he gives an illustration about two debtors. This one creditor had two debtors. Might I point out that both debtors were defaulted? They both owed him money. In fact, one owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. The Bible says in verse 42 that not only were they defaulted, but they were depleted. When they had nothing to pay, they had nothing to pay. When you realize that you have nothing to pay, you'll start loving him. You'll start appreciating him. You say that you have nothing to pay, but you really believe you do. You say that you have nothing to offer, but you really believe you do. And the pride of your heart has deceived you. You had nothing to pay. Nothing. Please understand that Jesus
by this illustration, it's presenting a picture of Simon and this woman, a picture of you, and a picture of I. We were shapen in iniquity. We were destitute sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I had a debt. You have a debt beyond your ability to pay. No matter how good you say you were, or no matter how bad you were, my friend, we unsaved, not able to pay. Number three, I want you to see an incredible deliverance. Verse 42, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Isn't that beautiful? Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Jesus, in this illustration, is the creditor. When the debtor is defaulted, delinquent, and depleted, the creditor's right is to take the debtor and cast him to the prison and turn him over to the tormentor. That's his right. Oh, yes, you deserve to be turned over to the devil. You deserve to be locked up in the chains of hell forever and ever and ever. But the Bible said, oh, when he saw they had nothing to pay, that he frankly forgave both. Jesus said, as he was lifted up on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad our Savior was willing to forgive us. Jesus is the one I owe. Jesus is the one you owe. All my righteousness is filthy rags. I must cast myself upon my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two things about this incredible deliverance. First one is unmerited favor. He frankly, that means graciously, that means freely. What he's saying is, I know you can't pay me. There I was, bowed down. Lord, I'm delinquent. I'm defrauded. I'm depleted. I have nothing to pay, Lord. What else can I do? He, knowing that, looked at me and said, I know you have nothing to pay, but it's okay. I'll pay it for you. It was the divine compassion and the divine character of our God, of our Savior, that saw us and forgave us where we were. I think, second of all, about his unrestricted favor. What do you mean? He didn't put me on a payment plan. You go buy a vehicle now, they'll take some money down if you have any. That puts you on an installment plan. In fact, if you run into trouble then, you might call them and beg them, and they might say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll extend the terms. Oh, my Savior didn't put me on a payment plan. He didn't extend my terms. He paid my debt and forgave me. I am no longer enslaved to sin. I no longer have to make that payment. Bless his good name. Don't you come in here today then and say, Preacher Darren, I think I have something to offer. I can look at you and tell, and seeing myself in the mirror, we have absolutely nothing to offer the God of all glory. Don't you see, fourthly, look at verse 42 again. Tell me, therefore, Jesus said, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now look, he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, I like this. Simon had invited Jesus to get everybody else's attention, but Jesus is not even looking at Simon. He's looking at the woman. The Bible said, and I read it in your hearing, that she loved much. I want you to see, fourthly, her instinctive devotion. I want you to compare this woman to yourself even this morning. I want you to see a couple things. Number one, look at her humble approach. Remember, it was Jesus that was invited by the Pharisee into the home. But she came anyway. She was not even invited, but she came in anyway. And when she got there, she stood at his feet behind him and began to weep. Amen. Don't you think about this for a moment. There sits our Savior. He's up at that table. He's got his feet bending behind him. There he sits. That woman walks in. She is not there to get Jesus' attention. She's there to give. I'm not here to get attention. I'm here to give attention. Can I say that again? I'm not here to be recognized. I'm here to recognize him. I'm not here to get attention for me. I'm here to give attention to him. Got to get that right, y'all. I'm not here to shake the preacher's hand. I just come to worship Jesus. I'm not here to sing a song. I just come to worship Jesus. I'm not here to teach a Sunday school class. I'm here to worship Jesus. I'm not here to be recognized. I'm here to worship Jesus. I want you to see her heartfelt affection. The Bible says she began to wash his feet with her tears. And if that weren't enough, as she saw her tears dripping on his feet, she would have let down her hair. The Bible says the hair of a woman is her glory. She laid her glory down at Jesus' feet. I don't know what you pay to get your hair cut, ladies, or to have your hair fixed up. But I promise you, you've got every hair care product known to man sitting in your cabinet. They're sitting all over the sink. They're around the bathtub. You take good care of your hair. For her to take her hair that she had took such care of, her glory, and to lay it down and wash his feet. Oh, what a statement that is of her adoration. She took this opportunity to say to Jesus, I love you. Thank you for forgiving me. I want you to see her honorable adoration. Look what she did. The Bible said, then after she wiped his feet, she began to kiss his feet. How many people's feet have you kissed lately? Y'all looking at me? It's going to get deep right here. Y'all ready? You're not going to kiss Jesus' feet standing there. You're going to have to get down. You're going to have to humble yourself. If you're going to honor him, you're going to have to get down to kiss Jesus' feet. That old Pharisee, he had not done one thing really to welcome Jesus in the house. But this woman kissed the feet of Jesus. Might I point out to you, as she kissed his feet, she was standing behind him. Are you with me? Jesus didn't even face her. Amen. I'm not here to get his attention. I just came here to worship him. If he don't even look my direction, he's done more for me than I ever need. Woo! Hallelujah to God. The Bible says, look at this honest anointing. The Bible says, then she anointed his feet with that ointment. That ointment is, you know who you anoint? You would anoint a king. It's what she's saying. As she broke open that alabaster box, she'd have been saying, I anoint you as my king. I anoint you as my Lord. I anoint you as my Messiah. Oh, listen, is he first in your life? Is he your king? Have you anointed him and said, Lord, you are the object of my affection. My love is focused upon you. Or is it focused upon your family? Is it focused upon your career? Number five, I'm almost done. Back to verse 39. After she's worshiped, look at the inevitable disdain. Simon the Pharisee had a problem with her worship. When you start worshiping Jesus in the right way, When you start honoring him, when you say, I get a case that I can't help, it's, I don't care who sees me. I don't care who pays the attention to me. I know what he's forgiven me of. He's forgiven me of all my sins. He's come live to my life and brought me peace. He is now my joy. I have eternal life through him, and I will not be denied. I'm going to worship him. When you get to that point, there'll be somebody to criticize you. But let me just point out you that's critical this morning. Maybe you've criticized the preaching. Maybe you've criticized the praying. Maybe you've criticized the praise. Maybe you've criticized the service. Hey, go ahead and criticize all you want to. But the Lord knows what's right about it. And let me say this to you today. Your criticisms reveal your lack of belief. Let me say this about critical people. Critical people fail to realize that their criticism reveals something about them. It reveals this man's lack of belief. Look what the scripture says, verse 39. Simon said in his heart, this man. Now, here's a question. Did he invite Jesus or this man? To begin with, he invited Jesus. But now that he's got critical, Jesus has become this man. Shows me a lack of belief in the criticizer's heart. Amen. In fact, it says a lot more, I believe, about it too. If he were a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. Critical people also have a love for belittling sinners. And the reason they belittle others, he failed to recognize that he's a sinner too. And Are you okay? Belittling someone else's worship is your attempt to cover up your lack of it. You go ahead this morning and criticize anybody who testified this morning. Well, I don't know. It's all right. It'll cover up. Your criticism will cover up the fact you didn't testify. If that woman had been amongst us this morning, she'd have slipped in the back. She would have been seen. She'd have made her way down to where he was. She'd have stood behind him. She'd have been there weeping. She'd have got down at his feet behind him. She would have been able to wipe his feet with her tears and let down her hair and lay her glory at his feet and began to kiss his feet. But I didn't see you. I didn't see you. Don't you be critical of them then, unless you're going to get involved yourself. I'm done right here. Preacher Darren, that was a good, lovely sermon till you got there to get on us. I'm just telling you. Number six, I'm done. Look at Jesus making this infinite declaration. He exposed three things. He exposed, didn't he, the Pharisaical attitude. He said, when he turned to the woman, and he said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. I mean, you're lifted up in pride and your performance has been inadequate. I come amongst you. You didn't even give me water, he said, to wash my feet where I've been traveling. But this woman, she washed my feet with her tears. And you say you love me. And you say you want to fellowship with me. You say you want to sit with me at an intimate meal. You say you want to have the Lord's Supper with me. But yet you will not even give me water for my feet. Thou gavest me no kiss. You didn't even greet me. Have you greeted Jesus this morning? About like this Pharisee. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But here's your problem. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Well, preacher, what that's saying is I've been a pretty good person. There wasn't a lot to forgive. I want to say to you, goody two shoes, it's been strolling down Tulip Boulevard all your life. You're on your way. If you get a little closer, the tulips are wilted over because the heat's coming. You're on your path to hell.
And I promise you, you're going to have to be saved from the same hell. It's going to take the same blood to save you that it takes to save them. Amen.
You are no better. It exposed his Pharisaical attitude, didn't it? He talked to him but was looking at her. It also expounded her pure affection. He said, she loved much. Why? She'd been a great sinner. Read on. It also explained the process of atonement. Look what he said. Thy faith hath saved thee. It explained the process of atonement. Do you know how you get saved? It's not works. It's not, this woman's not saved because she's pouring out her adoration to Jesus. That's not what saved her. That's works. It's not what saved her. He said that she's been saved by faith. Amen. That's the process of atonement. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I'll try to quit right here. It also told this woman, go in peace. Can you imagine? She's probably a woman of the street that had received forgiveness. When she goes back, listen, she's already been condemned in the Pharisee's house. What's she going to face when she goes back out that door? She's going to be judged. She's going to be looked down on. You know what? She may even look and say, I just can't forgive myself for the things I've done. Do you remember some of the things you've done? God help us. But he says, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. If I've forgiven you, forgive yourself. Don't you go out of here guilty anymore. You go out of here in peace. You go out of here today and say, oh, I'm so glad I made things right at the house of God today between me and my Savior. I'm asking you a question this morning, and let's just see how you respond. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? He's here. Do you love him? Would you come this morning? You can bestow your love upon him. This morning, folks are gathering round about.